Goeiemôre. Guten Tag. Kia ora. Bonjour. Did I miss anyone? Now, maybe you need a good handshake, you know? So shake someone's hand. I was saying to someone yesterday, if you had come to the wedding of Debbie and Graham, and you had heard Russell speak, and you heard Debbie's mum speak, if you fall asleep during the sermon, that's okay, because they did the whole message yesterday. So today I want to talk about love. And it sounds like a topic and a theme we've heard so many times. Let's see how we're doing today. Love. We can't touch it. I just want to say that I'm one of those pastors. If you're looking for 3 to 5 points, you'll have to find them yourself. Make a note somewhere. I'm not going to recap them at the end. So listen to the Holy Spirit as He ministers to you today. If there are any flaws in the sermon, all of it is mine. The Holy Spirit makes no mistakes, and neither does our God. So blame the saint, not the Savior. Let's start again. Love. We can't touch it. We cannot count it. We can't bottle it. But who amongst us would say that it doesn't exist? Anyone? No one. We can't argue that it's not real, even though we cannot see it. Love, it makes sane people do insane things. Makes them say and do crazy things. It prompts slobby and lazy and selfish people to do the most noble deeds. Yeah? Amen? Amen. It turns boring people into these exciting, unpredictable creatures. And they look like angels. And they wow us, and they stir us, and they move us to compassion and to feelings that we've never had before. These previously known boring and slobby and lazy people, they move us to, I'm going to have lift off soon, hey? So someone needs to just nail me down. Unpredictable we become when love comes upon us. What else? Is there anything else on earth with such power? Does anyone know of anything else with such power to make us become so irrecognizable when we are filled with God's love? You know, I know you think that I'm this wonderful person. Alex has been known me since I was 12 and a half. I'm going to be 50 this week. He's known me for a long time. He knows what God has done. I was arrogant and selfish and self-righteous and was either black or white. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. There's nothing in between. Aren't you glad for salvation and for God's grace? I am. Don't be shy to say amen today, huh? Love can hurt like nothing else in this world. And yet, when we don't experience it, it is infinitely more painful. So I would much rather put up with the hurt of loving than the infinite pain of never having experienced it. It is the most talked about, most sung about, most thought through theme in all of creation. And also, to lovely young people over here, it is the most misunderstood theme in the world. It's the best thing and the worst thing sometimes that can happen to us. So I'm going to read a whole lot of scripture, familiar scripture to you. And if you are a bit bored by the Lord's word, then Father, we pray. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and reactivate and ignite a new and fresh desire for your word. Amen. Amen. And so let's see if we can shed some fresh perspective on familiar scripture. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. If you have issue with the translation, bear with me today. Love, the motivation of our lives. 1 Corinthians 13. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. God's word, hey, don't you love it? And if I were to be so generous as to give everything away I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. That used to be me. Father, we praise you for healing that comes to all of us in your own time. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Listen to this one. Love is a safe place of shelter. How beautiful. For it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Have you experienced that? Cannot remember what people say, but you certainly know how well they have loved you. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters. I did, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured and I set aside my childish ways. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror, but one day we will see face to face. Can't wait for that day. My understanding is now incomplete, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Do you want to meet the person who fully understands you? Do you think we know his name? What is his name?
Jesus.
What is he doing? What is he doing right now?
Loving us.
What else is he doing?
Praying
for us. What else is he doing?
Healing us.
What else is he doing? Come on, meet the person who will one day show you how fully he understood you. He forgives us. He delights in us. He is so patient with us. Oh, our Savior, our Lord. Do you know what else he is doing? All those things that you've said. But the kids and I talked about one other thing that Christ is doing. He is preparing for us to come. He's preparing a place for us. while I drink my water, talk to the person next to you and ask them, do they know what their place looked like? Hey, you guys are having way too much fun. Let's continue. One of the children said to me, and I think she must have been 7 or 8 at the time, she said, Pastor Bridget, so this place that God is, that Christ is preparing, he's not consulted with me about that. And I thought, that's an adult word, consulting. But I said, you're quite right. Let's ask him. What would you like your place to look like? And she said, I don't care about the rest, but I do care about my bedroom. I'm going, okay. What about your bedroom? And she said, well, I don't want a normal bed. I want a bouncy castle. And I said to her, is it okay if I ask Christ if I can live just in the suburb over? Sounds like there's going to be too much fun happening in your place. And when we allow ourselves to go there with each other, with anyone, with our children, we will be surprised about the things that they think about. Let me continue. Where was I? But one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, listen to scripture. Let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Whatever you're running for, let love be the thing that you are running for. See, often we think about love in terms of these warm fuzzies. I mean, I don't know about the young people. They probably don't play these silly games. But when we were younger, we played with our daisy. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me forever. And when you ended on he loves me not, that's just not the right one. You pick another daisy. And then you try to preempt. I even counted them. And then there was one hidden under another one. I thought, oh, I've missed it. He loves me. He loves me not. And then you have this crisis of conscience. Am I honest and say that it ended on he loves me, he loves me forever? Or do I admit that it ended on he loves me not? He loves me. God does. He loves me forever. Someone said, we will not be able to grasp God's love and God's amazing grace if we cannot understand and accept the concept of God, our Creator. So today, if you are having issues with God being the creator of all things, then this message will be difficult to swallow. We need to understand God, the Creator, in order to understand God, the Father, in order to understand a Father who would send His only Son to die for us. Can I move this a little bit? Would it bother anyone? I just don't want to fall. That would not be a cool thing to do today. If we think of love as something that someone else has to do before we do our bit, if they do this, then I will do this, and this is how I will love them. If that is still your mindset today, then you're going to be deeply challenged today. We'll all be challenged today. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Why is it so important? It sounds like it's important to Christ, isn't it? He came with nothing else. He said, this is the new thing. Love one another. He repeated it 3 times. Why? Anything that's important to Jesus Christ is important to me. Is it important to you? Yes. So let's see. 3 times. Why is it important? Why is it important? From that scripture. Don't we normally respond? Let's see. From scripture, why is it important for Christ that we love one another? So that the whole world will know that we follow him. So, here's my love barometer. How does it look like today for you? Are you high? Do you love people so passionately that they run away from you? Is it so low that you have all these people following you just for a little hug? Is it lukewarm depending on how you're doing today and tomorrow? What is your love barometer like? How do you think you're doing, Pastor Russell? Do you think these people will have me back to come preach again? I don't know. Hey, let's see. If we are his disciples, his true followers, then we will love each other the way he tells us to love him. And the way he tells us to love others. Can I burst a little myth, a mythical bubble? It's not a mystery on how we should love each other. It isn't. Scripture is clear. We've read it. Let's see. I think quite a few people are quite uncomfortable with the L word. In fact, the millennials these days say, I like you. And they go, no, I really like you. And so, I like you means the same as, I love you. But love is such a dangerous word. And so, we substituted for like. But when Paul was writing the scripture, he wasn't even talking about a romantic love because he was writing to the church in Corinth. So surely, we quoted at weddings and everywhere and people write poems about it. But surely when a letter comes to the church on love, then it's meant for the people in the church. Do you agree? Yes, amen. So, God has no problem telling us how much he loves us. He tells us all the time. This book, I mean, I don't think people read the Bible anyway, but hey, here you go. This book is one big love story about God the Father and about all of us here. He has no problem telling us how much he loves us. Christ has no problem telling us how much he loves us. God loves us first, and he loved us best. He loved us while we wanted nothing to do with him. He loved us. God's love endures forever. I think we sang some of that this morning. It is unfailing. It is unselfish. It casts out all fear. God's word. More than God's word, God himself. So, how have we been loving each other? Test your heart. You know, the Bible says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. So let God's word penetrate and divide your thoughts and your attitudes and your heart. And test yourself today. How are you loving the person that you can see right next to you? How are you doing? Would the person next to you, well, these two got married yesterday, so obviously yes. But would the person next to you know that you love them as a church, as the family, as the body of Christ? Would they know? If I asked them, would they know? If God asked them, what would they say? Let us allow God to evaluate us today. Many Christians imagine that the Christian life used to be a whole lot easier in a previous decade. How many people talk about the good old days? A few honest people in the church? The good old days. When we had church camps and church picnics. When our children had 400 and 500. When all these other things were happening. When our mothers still baked bread on Sunday because the shops were closed. the good old days. We seem to think that that was a better time. Well, let me burst another bubble. There's never a time in history where there are no problems. Is that true? Yes. We want to remember only the good things. We choose to remember. I come from apartheid South Africa. What do you think my memories are like? And your dad trained us, taught us to love others, to not judge them. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians, we find a church with problems that threaten to not only wreck each other, but to wreck their ministry, to wreck their life. Few churches at the time had more issues than the Corinthians. But let us be thankful to the Corinthians and the issues they had because of what was happening for them. We have this letter from Paul. And we find in 1 Corinthians 13 this matchless love. The church in Corinth were made up of Jews and Greeks and Romans. And I guess not unlike this church. We are made up of all sorts. Is that true? Yeah. Yes, it is. Can you shout out where you are from? Clearly I'm from South Africa. New Zealand. The UK. South Africa. Zimbabwe. Holland. I didn't get that. So we could be the church in Corinth, made up of all these different people. They also had different worldviews of people. They had different ideas of what church should look like. Not unlike us here today. We all have different ideas that we will think will work best. Is that true? Yes, it is. See, Paul thanked this church for being so charismatic, but he also warned them about becoming a carnal church, a church that looked a whole lot like the world. Not only were they having gender issues, because in the beautiful church of Corinth, I would not be standing up here preaching. My dear sister Helen would not be a pastor. Gender issues, Church of Corinth. So not only did they have those struggles, they struggled to understand how best to love each other. How do you think we are doing as a church? You don't have to answer. It's okay. Holy Spirit is present. And in the middle of all the stuff, Paul talks about the importance of love. He speaks about love, and he doesn't just speak about love as a gift. He speaks about love as the fruit of the Spirit and the first fruit of the Spirit. Because out of love comes, okay, I'm in Galatians. Out of love comes joy, and out of joy comes peace, and out of peace comes all these other things. And so if we don't have love, then the joy that we put on for others lasts only for as long as they see us, and then our joy is gone. And our peace seems to last only when we talk to other saints. And when they are gone, our peace is gone. So when we talk about God's divine love for us, we need to understand that it's different. God said, I struggled with it. God said, this is one of our Baptist pillars of faith. We love God, we love others. God said, how can we claim to love Him whom we cannot see when we cannot love these people that we can see? Amen. Let me move on. The Greek meaning of the word in this passage indicates a selfless concern for the welfare of other people. How is your concern for the welfare of other people? How are we doing? Do we roll into church like marbles and we roll back out like marbles and we try not to hit anyone along the way? How is our concern for the welfare of others? You know, in the Baptist Union, Pastor Russell has a reputation. And this church is having a reputation. And they say, this is the pastor who still walks in the streets to go and meet people and baptize them whenever. So if we were to measure Russell's concern for the well-being and the welfare of others, forget about the things that we think he should be doing. How would we say? Does it look a little bit like what God is asking us to do? Hey? Today we're going to have a lunch out there. And people walk off the street. And I have been here a month, can you believe it? I witness people walking from the street to come and eat. How do you think our welfare, our concern for others are looking? And no one seemed to boast about it. And so what is Corinthians telling us? Don't boast about your achievements. Don't do it. Doesn't look good. Certainly not good to God. Somewhere between chapter 12 and chapter 13, Paul writes, love is indispensable. Love supersedes and surpasses all the gifts that God has given us because it will outlast all of them. Who doesn't want to be loved? I want to be loved. The word says this is what we are all looking for, a basic emotional need. We have a few counselors, psychiatrists here in the building as well. So they can affirm, but the word said it first. This is what a man desires. Above all things, unfailing love. Don't miss it. Every human being longs for unfailing love, lavish love, focused love, attentive love, radical love. The love that makes you do things that you never thought you'd be able to do. The kind of love that only God possesses and only God can give because his love endures forever and it is unfailing. And so as his children, we can only strive to be like that. When we get to perfection, we will know how to do it well. But in the meantime, the best we can do is to strive for it. Yeah, Heather read this morning, 1 John 4 from verse 7. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. I didn't make this up. This is scripture. The person who refuses to love, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God. It's in scripture. Because God is love. So you cannot know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love to us. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love that we are talking about. Love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not self-seeking, is not rude, is not easily angered. I used to have some serious anger issues, huh? Seriously. Once again, and I used to fight quite a bit, Pastor Russell. You didn't ask me the question, so I didn't answer it in the interview. But I used to fight quite a bit when I was younger. And I know I don't look it. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And I would have these organized fights. I did. And then I became a Christian. And I remember the day, it was Mother's Day that year, youth camp. Became a Christian. And on that Monday, there were these three girls who wanted to fight with me. Three of them. Normally that's how many it took to take me down. Oh, one should not boast. Still working on that one. And they were there after school wanting to beat me up. And they grabbed my bag and they were spitting on me and throwing sand, doing all sorts of stupid things. And do you know what my prayer was? Not that I would love them. I asked the Lord to have one last fight. It's true, Nigel. I realized that was the wrong thing to ask. So since then, I have changed my prayer life to, Father, help me to walk in love and peace and to walk by faith. Praise the Lord. Hey? Love disciplines us. It disciplines us. It says in Proverbs, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. So if our dads here in this church are not correcting their children, then by extension, the word is saying that they do not love their children. Is that a correct interpretation of God's word? You correct because you love. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Hey? It's regarded as the birthday of the Christian church and the start of missions to the world. And it's the day when the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles and on the people. And so, what will we ask the Holy Spirit today? What do you want to ask him today on this Pentecost Sunday? What shall we ask? Want the Holy Spirit to come? Yes. To wash over us. Yes. What do we want the Holy Spirit to do for us today? Show us how to love. Holy Spirit, we ask of you today as a family to come upon us, to wash over us, and to show us how to love like God. In Jesus' name. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. This is the difference between earth and heaven. And God is looking for mature children, children who have grown up. Children who are growing up, children who are learning how to love each other well and more deeply. It's a difference between our earthly parents and our heavenly Father. Here on earth, we raise them so that they can leave. We want to be empty nesters. Our heavenly Father had put us in this world so that we can come home. To him, to be with him. And love is how we will get there. Amen. Love is a choice we make. Oh my goodness, my brother over here, my father over here has gotten to the end of my sermon already. Well, I was going to ask people to come and respond. So prepare your heart for some response. Amen. Love is a choice we make regardless of how we feel. It's up to our feelings. It's hit and miss. I feel good today. I'm going to love you today. I feel bad today. Man, I don't even want to see you. If I feel whatever, then whatever will happen between us today. So if God is love, a steadfast, unchanging, unconditional, unselfish God, then love is everywhere. This is his creation. Do you remember that I said if you don't understand creation, you cannot understand God's love? So if this is God's creation and God is all of these things and God is love and love is the only thing that will remain, because when we get to heaven, we're not going to need faith. We are there. When we are in heaven, we're not going to need to hope for anything. It will be perfectly there for all of us to enjoy. All of this is love. It is a love that laughs. It is a love that rests. It is a love that waits and forgives and is so much more than you have ever dreamed of. God loves us purposefully. God loves us intimately. God loves us determinately. How can we do any less? Can you reach out your hand? Not in a weird way. Touch the person next to you, on their shoulder preferably. Did you know that when we love like God loves us, then in our very touch, it's a scientific fact, that there are these electrons, whatever they're called, they flow through us. Men, and they come and they enter the person that you are touching. And healing comes. And forgiveness comes. And joy comes. Because God is in you, and so out of you will flow rivers of love and joy. I'm nearly there. Listen carefully. And if you would like to come forward while I read this, or if you would like to stand, and if you are unable to stand, to raise your hand so that we can pray together, because I think we all need it. If anyone, listen carefully, church. If anyone here says that they love perfectly, Pastor Russell, we need to deliver them. Can we all work on something here? So listen carefully. Jesus said, this is how people will recognize his disciples, by how we love each other. And this is what Paul said to the church, not at a wedding, to the church. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It doesn't hold grudges and will hardly ever notice when others do wrong. I'm already standing. Someone needs to come pray for me as well. It is never glad with injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins. If you love someone, you are loyal to them. If you love someone, you believe in them. If you love someone, you always expect the best of them. If you love someone, you will be the first person to stand up to defend them. This is love. So this is where we're going to need our courage. Huh? We always have a choice. And we're going to choose today how we respond to God's word. Let me say something. You cannot love if you cannot forgive. Different sermon on forgiveness. If you are struggling to forgive and struggling to love the way God wants you to love, and struggling to look at your brother and sister and expect the best of them. If you struggle to look past someone's flaws and shortcomings, if you simply want a divine love experience encounter with God, then I would like you to be courageous enough to stand. If you need none of those things, that's fine. The people who are sitting will be praying for all of us. For those who are sitting, it's okay to sit. There are people who can't stand. If you can just reach out your hand and try and touch the person closest to you, or set your hand toward them so that they can feel your arwa, so that your liefde can fall vandaag, so they can feel your love. I will pray, and then the worship team will come. Father, God of love, you are infinitely merciful toward us. The word says that you delay your coming so that we can all go to heaven and that no one will perish. Father, help us to not miss this opportunity today. Today is the day that you've given us. Today is your day, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day when we still have breath in our lungs and words in our mouths. And so help us to use this day to speak words of love, to do what you have told us to do, to love each other well, Father. Forgive us the many times when we have missed it. Forgive us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we ask, Holy Spirit, you've heard the people. Come, wash over us, and teach us how to love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, be blessed. Heather, please come.